You are Locked On Sooners, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma Sooners. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right. Well, joining me now is John Williams from Locked On Sooners. And John, thanks so much for joining me, first of all. And I guess let's not bury the lead here. I got to say the biggest news has got to be that Devyon Harmon, the Sooners' second leading scorer, out for this game, and potentially if they beat Missouri, out for their second round game against either Norfolk State or Gonzaga. Yes, Norfolk State just won, Missouri fans. They're not out of our lives yet. But John, tell us about Devyon Harmon. What are the Sooners going to miss from him?
Well, like you said, he's the second leading scorer, but as important as that is, he's their second kind of facilitator, distributor. You know, after Austin Reeves, their first leading scorer, he's kind of their main point guard. They look to Devyon Harmon to run the point quite a bit. When Austin Reeves was out earlier in the season, it was Devyon Harmon that was taking the lead, distributing the basketball, running the offense. And yeah, they're going to miss him, man. They're going to miss that leadership. They're going to miss his ability to finish around the basket because he's a very good penetrator and he's a sneaky good finisher as well. And I think one of the things is this is going to put a little bit more pressure on Austin Reeves to score. And I mean, he's a really good player. He's one of the best that Oklahoma's had in probably the last decade, but an all Big 12 player. And but I think a lot of times there's a little bit too much pressure on him, especially in the second half of games. They need everybody on that team to step up, and not having Devyon Harmon, especially to take a little bit of the offensive kind of leadership and playing that point guard position, taking some of that pressure off of Austin Reeves, is going to put a little bit more pressure on Reeves himself.
Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't Harmon like a top 100 recruit at the point guard position? I mean, top 100 overall in high school, possibly pretty good recruit.
Yeah, I mean, he played really, really well as a freshman last year as Oklahoma was making a run to get to the NCAA tournament before COVID kind of nixed everything. And before Austin Reeves came, it was looking like Devyon Harmon would be the starting point guard again this year. And I think there's still a lot of like high expectations and high hopes for Harmon going into 2022 even. It's just, yeah, man, it's very disappointing, man. He, you know, again, the Sooners were on their way to play in March Madness last year. COVID canceled that. So, and then this year, again, COVID is knocking him out of the first two rounds if Oklahoma is fortunate enough to make it that far.
Now, you were saying that I'm blanking on his name. Austin Reeves. There we go. I knew that. He's first team all Big 12, averages 20 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, kind of like an old school offensive player. Yes. From what I've seen, because, you know, he's not necessarily a great shooter, kind of an average outside shooter, man, a great free throw shooter, you know, plays below the rim, but also scores inside of the 3-point line. But, you know, it seems like defensively, it seems like Harmon actually might be the point guard defensively, in terms of he might be the guy that actually defends a guy like Xavier Pinson or Drew Smith. Am I wrong there?
Yeah, no, I mean, for the guard play, you're looking at him or Elijah Harkless is probably their best defender. But I mean, he's one of those guys that, because they play such a small lineup, they probably play him as the guy that guards the 3 or the 4 a lot of times. But yeah, Devyon Harmon is the guy that you want playing defense on the perimeter. Austin Reeves is a really good player, but you know, defensively, he's not necessarily as good as Devyon Harmon is.
Yeah, just for Missouri fans out there, when I watch Devyon Harmon a little bit, he actually reminds me a little bit of Marcus Denman, just about similar size, a player from about 10 years ago, John, a really good player for the Tigers, who was, you know, an undersized 2-guard more or less, but kind of a combo guard. He could kind of do it all. Maybe not as good of a shooter as Denman, but just imagine that type of player. So you can imagine the Sooners are going to miss him for sure. And, you know, when it comes to, you mentioned COVID has had obviously an effect on the Sooners, most notably with Harmon, but also another player for you all, Brady Manick, a 6'9", big guy, really good shooter, comes from a family of really good shooters. In fact, does Brady Manick. It seemed like once he went out with COVID for a little bit, maybe he was feeling the after effects of COVID, and maybe that coincided with the Sooners' swoon toward the end of the season. Is there maybe some truth to that?
Yeah, that's very fair, actually. He's been very up and down over the last couple months of the season. And, you know, they're asking him to play in the five position, which, I mean, he's more of a stretch four and somebody that you can play more on the perimeter. You don't really want him being your defensive stopper in the middle because it's just not his game. I mean, he's okay. He's solid. But as we've seen with the Sooners over the last, you know, month of the season, defensive rebounding has really been a struggle. Any team that's got a solid big man in the middle is going to eat Brady Manick for lunch on the boards. I mean, he can have his games, but they're very inconsistent. And teams get a lot of second chance opportunities against the Oklahoma Sooners. And it's because they don't really play a true defensive player in the middle, or a true five in the middle, really. They got Kirk Weth that a lot of times comes off the bench, and he's really their best defensive player on the interior. But Lon Kruger has been playing this small four guard lineup with Brady Manick at the five. And it just defensively, it doesn't work. Offensively, they're pretty good in that lineup because Brady Manick can stretch teams out and he can hit some shots on the outside and run their pick and pop pretty well. But defensively, it creates a little bit of a liability for him.
Yeah. How do you see that playing out? That's an interesting give and take there. In fact, you know, Missouri and Oklahoma, as I'm sure you remember, played this previous season, and the Sooners ended up taking that game in Kansas City by about, I think, 11 points or so. I think Missouri got down by maybe 10 to 12 some odd points pretty early there on the back of what I thought was poor defense by Missouri on Brady Manick early. Jeremiah Tillman, who is second team all SEC as a center this season, I thought they overhelped off onto the ball screens, onto the ball handler, and basically just left Manick wide open a lot. It'll be interesting to see how Missouri defends that, but I'm also curious to see, who do you think defends Jeremiah Tillman out of the gates? And do you think maybe Kirk Weth, who you brought up earlier, big guy, number 52, probably the true center on the team, especially defensively, do you see him getting more action? And do you see Manick actually defending Tillman to start this game?
If there's one positive implication for Damian Harmon sitting out this first round matchup, it's that it gives Lon Kruger an opportunity to insert Kirk Weth in the starting lineup and to play Brady Manick and Kirk Weth at the same time on the floor a majority of this game, because you don't have to rely upon your four guard lineup. You know, you can roll out Austin Reeves at point guard, Umoja Gibson at shooting guard, Elijah Harkless at small forward, and then you got Brady Manick at the four, Kirk Weth at the five. And I really think that's probably your best lineup to start this matchup, and then kind of see where it goes, see how the game's playing out with your rotation. But I really think that they need to start Kirk Weth at center on Saturday, because it's going to give them the best opportunity to defend on the inside. Brady Manick, he can be okay, but you don't want a guy that can get offensive rebounds, that can score from the middle on being guarded by Brady Manick for much of a lengthy period of time.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I think, you know, really the only other strategy other than starting Kirk Weth there, your only true big man, to me would be just to swarm Jeremiah Tillman with double teams when he gets the ball in the post. And considering Missouri is not a good 3-point shooting team, to say the least, that is an option. But if I were the Sooners, if I were Lon Kruger, I'd be worried about Brady Manick getting foul trouble in that scenario early. And I that's a tough one. If Missouri decides to not throw the ball into Tillman and use him as a high ball screener, maybe just off the ball, yeah, I'd be really worried about him just kind of dunking all over the Sooners early. So I think what you say makes a lot of sense, and it definitely helps. It definitely helps the Sooners defensively, but I also think it helps Missouri defensively too, because again, then Tillman doesn't have to guard Brady Manick on the other end of the floor.
Yeah, and that's maybe one of the reasons why Lon Kruger hasn't really gone to that lineup much, because Kirk Weth is really good as a lob specialist. He can catch some lobs, you know, get some putbacks and things like that, but he's not really going to threaten you otherwise offensively. And I think what you're saying is right. You know, if they're willing to throw it down into the paint, then Missouri is going to have a good opportunity to get some easy buckets. That's where teams have really beat Oklahoma up late in the season, because, you know, Brady Manick, you know, he might pick up some fouls, but he's not going to be overly aggressive. He's going to actually at times maybe give up some buckets just to not draw the foul.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. I think you see statistically, that's one of the Sooners' strengths is the fact that they don't foul very much. Isn't that right?
Yeah, they don't. I mean, they, you know, against Oklahoma State, they gave up quite a few more foul shots, but Oklahoma State was driving the ball to the basket pretty frequently. Now, is that Missouri's game? Or are they a team that likes to go into the paint and attack the rim?
They do for sure. And certainly through Tillman, but also their guards like to get in there as well. Xavier Pinson has one of the best first steps in the league. Drew Smith will get in there. You know, I mentioned that Austin Reeves has a bit of an old school game when it comes to kind of getting into there about 8-10 feet away sometimes and shooting a turnaround. That's something Drew Smith will do as well. Just as far as being a below the rim player who can score in the paint and sort of maybe a little bit of a herky jerky, unorthodox kind of way. And
BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. March Madness is now upon us. Major League Baseball is just around the corner as well, and BetOnline has you covered. They even cover award shows, TV shows, and reality TV. Get real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head on over to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. So go to betonline.ag and use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive your 50% welcome bonus. That's betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. And now I want to talk to you about our friends over at Country Leisure. Country Leisure is a pool and hot tub manufacturing company that has been in the business for 35 years. Experts in the industry, they are ready to help you get your backyard oasis set up for this summer. That's right. Summer is just around the corner. We're in March, April, May. By Memorial Day, you might be ready to hit the pool, get in your hot tub, and the people at Country Leisure are the people to help you get set up, creating your relaxation destination in your backyard. Are you ready to get out of the house, get your kids out of the house, get your wife out of the house, get your husband out of the house? Are you ready to sit by the pool, have a good conversation, have a few laughs, just have some fun and relax? Well, maybe now's the time for you to consider pool ownership. And if you've never thought about it, well, the people at Country Leisure can get you started. So make sure you go to countryleisuremfg.com to check out all the things that they have to offer. You can also call them or text them at 405-799-7745. Located off of I-35 and more, they can get to anywhere in Oklahoma and they can get you set up in one day in most cases. So head on over to countryleisuremfg.com or call or text at 405-799-7745. Country Leisure, just add water. And get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
One thing that Oklahoma and Missouri have in common, and several commentators have pointed this out, both teams would have been a lot happier if the Field of 68 would have been announced about a month ago, because both teams had a lot higher seed. Now, the thing about Oklahoma is their January was incredible. 4 wins over top 10 teams, including the Alabama Crimson Tide. Well, ironically, really, Missouri and Oklahoma kind of started hitting the skids after they beat the Crimson Tide team that I really like. But I tell you, the more I look at Oklahoma's finish, definitely a tough finish, but other than the Kansas State game, that's a bad loss for sure. But other than that, they had some fairly close losses to some good teams. At least that's the bullish take. Are you buying that? What do you think about Oklahoma?
Yeah, I mean, I think my partner David is a little bit more optimistic and a little more maybe level-headed about this team than I am going into the tournament. I'm not feeling great about it. Because they had 10 point leads in several of those games that they lost. You know, they've struggled to finish down the stretch. It's been a team that plays pretty well in the first half. Again, aside from that opening round, or sorry, the second round loss to Kansas in the Big 12 tournament, they play pretty well in the first half. They're able to get out to leads early in the second half, but then they allow those leads to evaporate. And it could be because they're playing with a shorter bench and they're playing with a short rotation and they just get worn down in the second half of games. But it could just also be that, you know, they get those leads and get a little lackadaisical, because we even saw against Iowa State, they had a 19 point lead in the opening round of the Big 12 tournament, and Iowa State was able to bring it within five. in that game. And Oklahoma actually had to like give out a really good effort to hold on to that game. And so, yeah, I don't know, man. It's really interesting. Yeah, that Kansas State loss was probably the worst one of the bunch, because they had a, I think it was a 5 or 6 point lead, you know, with 3 or 4 minutes left to play in that game. And K-State just took over from there. But they had, you know, against Oklahoma State, they had a 10 point lead. I think against, I think it was, man, I'm blanking on it now, but against Tech, maybe they had a 10 point lead as well. And it just, they just weren't able to finish down the stretch.
Yeah, that makes sense. No, I can definitely understand your frustration. It's interesting to get the outsider's perspective and then the insider's perspective from somebody who's actually lived those games, because it's a lot different when you've lived those results than just kind of having the, you're outside of the forest and looking at KenPom. It's a lot different, right? But
yeah, for sure. Cause they are close losses if you just, you know, look at them
right
from a box score perspective, but with the context.
Sometimes that is, can be misleading too. Yeah, so it's good. Sure. It's good to get that insight from you for sure. And
David and I, we've been telling you about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market for a while now. Built Bar is the amazing low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, best tasting, amazing protein bar with 100% chocolate covering every bit of their protein bars. If you love Built Bar like we love Built Bar, now is the time to find out which Built Bar is best. It is Built Bar Madness. And in today's matchup, we've got double chocolate versus caramel brownie. And for my money, any of the brownie flavors are by far my favorite. I just love the way they taste. I love the texture. Absolutely love them. So caramel brownie is going to be getting my vote. And you can also vote too over at builtbar.com, or you can go to @bar_built on Twitter and vote. And if you're ready to step into Built Bar, try a box yourself, well, remember to use the promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order at builtbar.com. That is LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order at builtbar.com. And check back to see who won today's matchup and who will become the best tasting protein bar on the market. And are you ready for the NFL draft? We are just 6 weeks away, maybe 5 weeks away, actually, from the NFL draft. So join Locked On NFL Draft hosts Trevor Sikema and Benjamin Solak as they give you their latest positional rankings and analysis on 2021 draft prospects with team-centric guest mocks right around the corner. Follow the Locked On NFL Draft podcast on the radio.com app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, you know what? It's funny. Missouri now making its just its third NCAA tournament appearance, since leaving the Big 12 and joining the SEC. And we still haven't won a game in the since we've left the SEC. Some from the Big 12 might say that's karma. I have a question for you, my good friend, and it's quite simple. Do you miss us? Do you miss Missouri?
You know what? I do, actually. I miss the old Big 12, except, you know, Texas.
I miss the old Big 8 in particular, but yeah, I hear you on the Big 12 too.
Yeah, man. Like, you know,
I'm a child of the 90s, so I'm down with the Big 12 as well.
That's right. You know, not having Missouri, not having Nebraska, it's still weird. But yeah, man, I think I came into my Oklahoma fandom about that same time that Chase Daniel was just like lighting teams up, you know, in the mid to late 2010.
Those were some exciting games against the Sooners.
Man, they really, really were. And sometimes not in our benefit, but yeah, I mean, Jeremy Maclin and Chase Daniel, just some really, really good Missouri football teams. It's just a fun rivalry. My nephew is actually a really big Mizzou fan, lives up in the St. Louis area. And so we had a good time back in, I think it was that year that Oklahoma and Mizzou met in the Big 12 championship game. And we were having a lot of talk back and forth about
that. The one in San Antonio would have been 07. The one in the one that wasn't particularly close, it would have been 08, would have been an Arrowhead. So there you go.
Yeah.
But so, well, just to get you out of here, John, once again, thanks for joining me, but how are you feeling? Do you think Oklahoma's going to pull this out?
Yeah. You know, it's going to be interesting. I think how this team responds early without Davion Harmon is going to be really the telltale of how this game goes. You know, again, they've done a good job at weathering the storm of absences. You know, they had Austin Reeves out, they had Brady Manick out earlier in the season, but I think, you know, Lon Kruger is a really good coach. I think this is a game that Oklahoma can win. It just depends on, are they going to be a consistent shooting team throughout the whole game? Are they going to have a second half slide like we've seen for the last six games of the season? Who knows? Are they going to be the team that shows up in the second half like they did against Kansas, or the team that didn't really show up until crunch time against Iowa State. We'll see. But I'm going to have in my bracket, I'll have the Sooners winning this game. But I think it's going to be a close one. What about sure. you? How are you feeling about this matchup?
You know, it's funny. I feel the exact same way. I mean, it's one of those deals where you feel like you're a bad fan if in an 8-9 game, you don't pick your team, right? So of course I have the Tigers advancing, right. But exactly. It's not like I'm wildly confident by any stretch of the imagination. But, you know, the more I think about it, I think your point about, hey, they should start Kirkweath, the center. It will be interesting because there's an argument that maybe Oklahoma's actually better off going small because they've actually looked pretty good defensively, according to some people I've listened to. Even though they missed Brady Manick offensively, that actually defensively, when they went small, they hung in there okay. So it'd be interesting to see. I think Krugel will figure it out one way or the other, and yeah. whether that lineup, whether it be the small lineup or the bigger lineup, I think he'll figure out the most effective group. Lon Kruger's a veteran. He knows what he's doing, but whether that'll be enough, we'll see. And the Tigers, gosh, they're such an unpredictable team. They can play with just about anybody, but at the same time, they make every game an adventure. So frankly, I'm with you. I think it's going to come down to the last minute of the game. And, you know, we'll just have to see what happens. Whoever executes best down that last 60 seconds is probably going to win it.
Yeah, and I completely agree. I think the SEC has been an underrated conference all year. You know, Alabama's kind of taking the lead, but Arkansas has been really good as well. LSU showed that they could play with yep. anybody. So I think, you know, Missouri's, you know, second round exit in the SEC tournament isn't really much to, you know, like write off. Like, I think the SEC was just as good as the Big 12 maybe this year.
Yeah, I tend to agree, especially at the top of the league. And, you know, I think LSU and Missouri in particular were a little underseeded for sure. So mm-hmm. I agree with you. Good to hear that. But hey, John Williams, thank you so much. And hey, there's occasionally, speaking of a crossover episode of Locked On Mizzou, sometimes there's some crossover between some Mizzou fans who happen to be Oklahoma fans too. So if you're an OU fan, definitely check out Locked On Sooners.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for having me a lot. It was a lot of fun. It's going to be a fun game on Saturday. It's March Madness. Hey, we made it. The right. tournament's going to happen.
I was going to say, I think for both teams, it's a good season. Right, you'd agree that we both made the field. And hey, who knows? Maybe we'll see the Sooners in a bowl game someday. You never know. Eli Drinkwitz seems to have it rolling.
Yeah, and we need to get back to that that non-conference schedule at some point. After we get Nebraska taken care of,
I love
let's,
it.
Let's get
I'd
back
love
into the non-conference.
Yeah, how about a home and home, Columbia Norman? I'd love it.
Let's do it. We'll talk to our ADs and we'll make it happen.
I'm sure they're going to listen to this and let us know. Yeah, absolutely. Right. Yeah. John, thank you, man, so much.
Hey, thanks for having me. Appreciate it,
bud.